a $10 billion coffee buy.
This podcast is supported by 23andMe DNA Kit, designed to provide over 200 personalized health reports and knowledge to make informed personal health decisions. Your DNA Kit is available at 23andMe.com/marketplace.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. And we'll start with a big deal that is brewing in the global coffee business. There is news this morning that a German investment group called JAB is buying a Dutch company called DE Master Blenders for nearly $10 billion, which sounds like a whole lot of coffee. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live from London with the details. And Stephen, I'm guessing that a lot of people have never even heard of these two companies. So who are they?
Yes, I think they're better known perhaps in Europe. DE Master Blenders is the Dutch firm behind the Douwe Egberts coffee brand. It also owns Senseo Coffee and Pickwick Tea and has annual sales of $3.5 billion. It's the world's third biggest coffee company by sales. The company's agreed to be taken over by, as you say, a German investment group called JAB, which also has a stable of global coffee brands, including Caribou Coffee and Peet's Coffee and Tea. JAB already has a 15% stake in the Dutch company and is therefore going for total control.
And those two companies, Caribou and Peet's, are pretty well known in the United States. Why are these companies getting together?
This move reflects the shifting fortunes and ambitions of the two groups. The Dutch company that's being taken over was spun off from a larger corporation last year, and it's had a less than propitious start in life. Within weeks of listing, it revealed big problems in its Brazilian business, a tax fraud and accounting issues. While the investment company, this is a JAB, it's a vehicle for the billionaire Reimann family in Germany. It's expanding, it's ambitious. They want to build a beverage company that will one day rival the Swiss giant Nestlé. They've got some way to go, though. Nestlé sold $17 billion worth of coffee last year.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, more than 4 million Americans will be watching their mailboxes over the next few weeks, and not just for tax refunds. Starting today, checks are on the way to victims of wrongful foreclosures as part of a $3.6 billion settlement between banks and federal regulators. But for most of those borrowers, it won't exactly be Christmas in April. Shannon Mullen reports.
More than 80% of the people who are eligible for settlement money will get checks ranging from $300 to $1,000.
It makes me laugh out loud. Kind of a punch in the face.
Josh Escobedo lives in Spanish Fork, Utah. He fell behind on his mortgage payments after losing his job as a realtor. He was denied a loan modification at first and says it cost him a lot to get one through an attorney.
Somewhere in the $8,000 range at least, not to mention all the time and energy and the stress on my family.
Escobedo says his check might cover a nice steak dinner for him and his wife. The settlement's the result of a long push by federal regulators to compensate borrowers for mistakes or mistreatment by banks at the height of the housing crisis. 53 people lost their homes, but never actually defaulted on their mortgages. And banks took houses away from more than 1,000 military service members who were protected from foreclosure by law. Borrowers in those two groups will get up to $125,000 each. But most people will get a small fraction of that. Elise Cohen is an attorney with the National Consumer Law Center.
Servicers are not paying anywhere close to the amount of harm they caused. On the other hand, there's still a chance for servicers to do the right thing and give people loan modifications when they qualify.
In West Palm Beach, Florida, Claudia Farabach fought to get a modification after her husband lost his job. They have a 10-year-old son, and in the end, they were able to keep their home. But she says the process took 3 years.
I don't know how many nights, you know, I lost sleep with my husband, worrying what was going to happen. I'm glad I'm getting something. Don't get me wrong, but it's ridiculous. It really is.
Federal regulators say borrowers should call Rust Consulting to find out if they're eligible for the settlement. The company's distributing the money and sent a postcard to every person who'll get a check. Farabach says the notice looks like junk mail, and she almost threw hers away. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading this morning, down 0.5% in Tokyo, 0.6% lower in London. We're going to get earnings this morning from JP Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 62 to yet another record close of 14,865.
This podcast is supported by 23andMe, a personal DNA kit so individuals can better understand how their genes impact health, which means individuals and their doctors find health areas to keep an eye on. 23andMe also gives ancestry information and helps discover global origins or perhaps find relatives. Available today at 23andMe.com/marketplace. That's the number 23andMe.com/marketplace.
This weekend, the Texas Motor Speedway will host a NASCAR race, and the name of the race is causing a bit of controversy. It's called the NRA 500, as in National Rifle Association. Marketplace's David Weinberg reports.
The last time the NRA sponsored a NASCAR race was in September, before the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting that brought the NRA to the forefront of the debate on gun control.
I'm certain that somewhere down the line, someone has to say, let's look at a particular sponsor and see whether it's good for the sport.
John Ackley is professor at Virginia Commonwealth University, where he teaches a class called The Business of NASCAR. He says these types of sponsorships are made between the owner of the racetrack, in this case, Texas Motor Speedway, and the sponsor. But ultimately, NASCAR does have to approve the deal.
But just because in a particular situation there may be people who don't approve of something, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is detrimental to the overall sport.
Sponsors typically pay upwards of $1 million to put their name on a race. But Ackley doesn't think this sponsorship will cost NASCAR any fans. NASCAR didn't block the sponsorship, but said it would take a closer look at the sponsorship approval process in the future. I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
And finally, Wednesday was the 100th day of the year. It was also the 100th year of business for a company based in Jacksonville, Illinois, called Ilmo Products. And so, according to the Jacksonville Journal-Courier, the company did what any 100-year-old company would do on the 100th day of the year. The bosses gave each employee a $100 bill when they showed up to work, which I guess means the guy who called in sick on Wednesday will not be buying drinks this weekend. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.